This is Dan Betzer. Does swearing bother you? Do you often wonder why so many cannot express themselves without using profanity? You wouldn't do it, would you? And yet yours may be the ultimate profanity, and you aren't even aware of it. I want to explain this to you next on Revival Time.
It's Revival Time across the nation and around the world. Around the world, the Assemblies of God presents Revival Time with radio evangelist Dan Betzer, the Revival Time Choir, special guests Doug and Bonnie Jenkins, and your announcer Lee Schultz. The Revival Time Choir, directed by Searle McClellan, sings When I Think of the Cross. Thousands of requests already have been received for the special silver anniversary issue of the Pulpit Book. This keepsake edition contains all of the radio sermons preached in 1978 by Evangelist C.M. Ward, is a handsome, hardbound volume of more than 300 pages. C.M. Ward, the voice of Revival Time for 25 years, and this final collection of sermons is the last in a series of pulpit books that command a prominent spot in home and church libraries. Sermons such as The Sinner's Bible, The Two-Edged Sword, and Today are classics in radio evangelism. Don't miss your opportunity to add this beautiful volume to your bookshelf. Ask for your copy today in your letter to Revival Time, Post Office Box 70, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. And remember, Revival Time depends upon your support to sustain this worldwide radio ministry. Every dollar you invest goes directly toward reaching the lost with the gospel. Please include a special gift with your letter this week. Address it to Revival Time, Post Office Box 70, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Thank you so much, and God bless you as you sacrifice to keep Revival Time coming your way. Now, here is a special group from the Revival Time Choir singing, Jesus Did It For Me. Thank you.
whiter than snow.
These next few moments could affect your life substantially. The Bible says that fervent, effectual prayer avails much. Now, we really do believe that God hears and answers, and we have a reason to believe. In Kansas City, Marie Mikey had a diabetes sore on her foot that had become infected. It looked like amputation might be necessary, but prayer was requested and the foot was completely healed. And we receive testimonies like this day after day. Now, God cares about you, too. You're very important. Let's pray about it. Father, a calloused world system challenges the sanctity of the individual. We are given numbers, reduced to sameness, cluttered by groupings. But you approach us one-on-one. You know our names. You have the hairs of our head inventoried. David wrote that you know the innermost thoughts of our minds. You consider each person so precious. And you've encouraged us to come to you with our heartaches and tears. We come to you with our dreams and aspirations, our victories and defeats. We lay our sicknesses and needs at your throne. We trust you to care for us. And Father, many of our families suffer extreme want today. They exist in areas plagued by starvation, where the soil is arid and cannot produce food. Some of our family live where there are never church services, and they listen to us in the corners of their rooms by shortwave radio. And so many are attending this service in their hospital beds. Father, they're also very important to us, so how much more do you see their need today? Thank you so much for caring and understanding and giving us access to your presence through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let me remind you again that over 2,000 of us stand ready to begin praying for you and your requests. You can reach me 24 hours a day by calling this number, 1-417-866-5511. That's 1-417-866-5511. Revival Time is a ministry, and we're concerned about you.
We welcome back our special guests again this week. Doug and Bonnie Jenkins have blessed our hearts for the last few broadcasts with their anointed singing, and they come now to sing Waiting.
Trusting where doubt is.
Thank you, Doug and Bonnie. Your music has been a blessing. And now it's time for you to sing. Our congregation here in the radio auditorium is ready, and they want you to join them in Love Lifted Me. Betzer's message is titled, The Ultimate Profanity. His texts are from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16, Lest there be any profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. And Genesis chapter 25, verse 32, And Esau said, Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?
The vocabulary of the world is rapidly shrinking to four-letter words. Cursing has become a way of life to many. It takes skill to verbalize your thoughts with proper language, but not much intelligence is needed to punctuate communication with vulgarity. Swearing is not macho, it's monotony. It isn't clever, it's crass. It isn't suave, it's sloppy. It reveals a vapid mind, a lack of character, in an uncivilized sense of manners. Swearing is offensive, it's juvenile, it's uncivilized, repulsive, cheap, unmannerly, and it is sinful. The prayer of David long ago should be offered by us all, Lord, let the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight. But as garish and damaging as verbal profanity is, there is an ultimate profanity that descends even lower. We are given the example of a man named Esau, the son of Isaac and Rebekah. No man is without some virtue. Esau had some outstanding qualities. They made his downfall even more tragic. You might have enjoyed living next to him. He had manly interest, both in occupation and leisure. He was a brawny, rugged sort of fellow who today might have been typecast as a linebacker on a pro football team. He was a rugged, shaggy creature, who was as much at home in the forest and field as he was in his front room. Esau was the older son of Isaac and Rebekah, but only by a few moments. His twin brother Jacob was born seconds later, his tiny hand grasping Esau's heel. Though they were twins, they were as different as day and night. Jacob was fair-skinned, somewhat fragile. He was more interested in domestic activities. He was his mother's favorite child. It was the custom of that day to give the birthright to the oldest son. The inheritance was passed on to him. The family heirlooms, the possessions and property, and the spiritual benediction went to him. He became the spiritual head of that family. It was a supreme honor to receive the birthright. And Jacob, the younger brother, wanted it desperately. The birthright meant nothing to Esau. Spiritual blessings, moral concerns, they were of no interest. Pleasure, enjoyment, thrills, those were the extent of his thoughts. Who cares for promises of tomorrow? Live for today. That's all that really matters. Eat, drink, be merry. His philosophy was as shallow as a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Esau considered life to be the vehicle to make money, be a success, do as he pleased. This is the ultimate profanity, to take life, the most precious gift God has given, and consider it of no more value than play money, to have no eyes or body or mind for God. Esau had become insensible to everything intellectual, spiritual, moral, noble, God-honoring. His was a desecration of life. He had made the poorest investments possible. He gave treasure for trash, jewels for junk, God for garbage. Ultimate profanity. He made three major miscalculations. One, he mistook the physical for the spiritual. Now, man is a threefold being, body, soul, and spirit. All three categories play vital roles in your well-being. None of the three should be neglected. The Bible teaches that a wise person will develop all three areas of his life. The body is the housing. It needs constant repair and supervision, but even with careful attention it wears out, it must be discarded eventually. At best, your body is a temporary facility. It's fragile. It can't continue indefinitely. You leave it behind. The tragedy is this. So many give their vigorous attention to the physical and not the spiritual. That was part of Esau's problem. He recognized the hunger of his body, but not his soul. He was quick to hear the cry of his body, but was insensitive to the wailing of his spirit. He knew more about deer than divinity. He cared little about his father's religion or way of life. He cut himself adrift from it early. Everything Esau did reveal this profanity. Every step he took, every choice he made, every bargain he struck. His marriages revealed his nature. Any sacrifice he may have made was for heathen principles. Esau was firmly committed to the belief that life is for right now, today. Tomorrow may never come. Upon arriving home from a hunting trip, he saw his brother Jacob cooking some pottage. That's a thick red soup of vegetables and meat. Oh, it smelled so good. Give me some soup, brother. Esau's request was just what Jacob had been waiting for. Well, sell me this day thy birthright. That was the deal. A bowl of soup in exchange for his spiritual treasure. You know, he must have been thinking about it for a long time. Perhaps Jacob had approached him about it before. You see, a man doesn't sell his birthright at a moment's notice. He's already sold it in his heart many times. He had showed his contempt for the heritage in 100 ways. Everyone knew the birthright was on the market. It had lost all meaning to Esau. A man doesn't leave his wife and children in an instant. He's already done it in his heart and mind many times. It's consumed his thoughts. A person doesn't turn his back on God on a sudden notion. He's allowed the world system to infiltrate his brain. He's dwelt upon it night and day. It's become a passion within him. Secondly, he mistook the foolish for the wise. Paul's frequent prayer was for the mind of Christ to be in him. He wrote of the problem, "Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" Esau was convinced that his choices were brilliant. We have no record of his seeking God as his brother did. Jacob spent nights in prayer asking his Creator for divine counsel, but not Esau. He knew best. No one could second guess him. He felt he needed no help. Job said, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom." Knowledge is one thing, wisdom's quite another. Accumulation of facts will not assure success in any venture. It's the practical application of those facts. The Bible says that wisdom begins with a proper relationship with God. To try to bypass that step is foolish. The counsel of the smartest person on earth will not help you if it cancels out God's purpose in your life. In his heart, Esau must have known better. He'd been trained well by Isaac and Rebekah. But he pitched that background away carelessly. It's still being done today. Many young people finally get on their own and sell their birthright, perhaps for a higher salary, the plaudits of those who can enhance their career, a momentary place in the sun, or some other kind of pottage. But when the eternal books are completed, They will testify that no one has ever successfully bartered a birthright. No one has ever jettisoned God's provision without ultimately regretting it. To forsake God is abject foolishness. To serve him is superlative wisdom. Esau mistook the foolish for the wise. That was part two of his ultimate profanity. Part three, he mistook the temporal for the eternal. When Jacob asked him for the birthright as payment for pottage, Esau replied, "Behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me?" I don't believe that Esau was saying he would perish if he didn't get food that moment. He was saying that in a little time he would be dead. Life is short, and once dead, always dead. What good would God's promises and spiritual truths do if you're dead and buried? There is no eternal future, he said. I don't want promises. Give me food and drink right now. Give me pleasure today. Eat, drink, be merry. Tomorrow I'll die. Maybe you've been thinking during this service, I'm alone. No one cares for me. If I go out tonight and sell my soul, no one will lament my act. I'll live for this moment. My friend, you are profaning your life. The reason why life is so sacred is this. It's the prelude to eternity. It's the warm-up before the opening curtain. It's the overture to the concert. This life is not all there is. It's only the beginning of that which will be. The Bible teaches us that our eternal existence will be the magnified reflection of our lives now. The verse in Revelation 22:11 is chilling. God says, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." It can't be plainer. God has given us life, whether it be 20, 50, or 70 years. Life is sacred. It can't be counterfeited. We only get one shot at it, only one trip on the merry-go-round. There's no coming back, no reincarnation. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. But you are alive. You're breathing. You still have your senses. You're so fortunate. You can still make it. You're still at bat. The final page has not been written on your life. My prayer is that for your sake, you do not mistake the physical for the spiritual. That you do not mistake the foolish for the wise. That you do not mistake the temporal for the eternal. To do so is fatal. It's a mistake that may never be corrected. In just a moment, you and I will pray together, and I'm reaching out to you right now. I don't want anything from you. I want to give to you. I want to give you the opportunity to allow Christ first place in your life as Savior and Master. Oh, He can take your life and absolutely transform it. I promise you He will. Please don't let Satan continue to run your affairs. He'll ruin all your hopes and dreams. That's the ultimate profanity. These next 2 minutes are the most important part of our service, the time in which I ask you to make a choice. I ask you to choose Christ for your life. By praying the simplest prayer, you can place God on the throne of your life. Let's do it right now. Father, reach out to that student kneeling in his dormitory, the farmer by his shortwave radio in Italy, the housewife who feels overwhelmed by life, the handicapped fellow who carries such bitterness, the businessman who's wondering how long he can keep going, all these friends, Lord, who need you so desperately right now. You've promised that those who come to you will be received royally. Even now, each one has begun to sense that he or she is not alone.
There's a divine presence in the room with them, bringing salvation and healing and restoration. Father, cover our sins with Jesus' blood of Calvary. Your word promises that the blood of Jesus, your Son, covers every sin ever known. We don't need to live with guilt and frustration. Whom the Son sets free is absolutely free. We rejoice in the victory, and Father, my heart goes out to that one who's suffering so terribly just now. Nothing the nurse has to offer alleviates the pain. Jesus, you can touch the hurt and cause it to go in a moment. For your name's sake, I ask you to do just that. You're all sufficient, more than able to do above anything we could ever ask or think. Thank you for hearing my prayer, and thank you for sovereignly intervening in the lives of my friends. Amen. Now at this moment, there is no human being that you need more than a good pastor. For your sake, contact the minister of a Bible preaching church and tell him about your life and the commitment to Christ you've just made. He'll pray with you and show you verses in the Bible that will help you so much in these important first days. Please do that. Contact your pastor today. Then I also want to be of more service to you. We've prepared some literature to assist you in your learning more about God and His Word. I want to send it to you right away. As soon as you write to me asking for this material, it will be on its way to you. Let me encourage you to write today to Revival Time, Box 70, Springfield, Missouri. Now I'm praying for you, and so is the entire staff. We meet each Tuesday to fast and pray over your needs. We do care about you, and God is vitally interested in your concerns. So remember, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.
If you would like a copy of Dan Betzer's message, please write to us and request The Ultimate Profanity. Write to Revival Time, Post Office Box 70, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. And when you send your letter of support, remember to ask for your copy of the Silver Anniversary Pulpit Book. Quantity is limited, and requests are heavy for this keepsake edition of C.M. Ward's radio sermons. Now, with a closing word, here is Revival Time evangelist Dan Betzer.
Many years ago, C.M. Ward came to the church I was pastoring to preach the dedication sermon for our new building. Two men came to the altar to receive Christ in that service. They were weeping. Oh, there was such a precious spirit of God in that message. But you know, that was the trademark of Brother Ward's ministry for 25 years on this broadcast. It was anointed, Christ-centered, powerful. Lee Schultz has told you about the Silver Anniversary Book of Brother Ward's messages. Messages, all the sermons preached from this pulpit last year. My friend, I believe you need this book in your home, and we don't have many left, so write us today. And oh, how we'll appreciate your offering for Revival Time. Now, may the Lord bless and keep you until we meet again next week.
Until we meet next week, please take time to attend church. Look for the Assemblies of God Church where you see the Revival Time sign. This is Lee Schultz saying thanks for inviting us in and urging you to send your offering for this worldwide evangelistic crusade to Revival Time, Post Office Box 70, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Revival Time is sponsored by the Assemblies of God and interested friends.